please, human, please.
Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy.
I have a message. Save your generation.
You are listening to Save Your Generation on the Real Radio Network.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. This is Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. Friday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Friday. Tonight's the night. December, what's today? 15th, the 15th of December. Remember, remember, do you know what tomorrow is? I told you a couple months ago or a couple weeks ago or something, I don't remember when it was, about the Boston Tea Party for 9/11 Truth. Well, it's happening tomorrow. But tonight... So I got a lot on my mind. I got a lot still buzzing, everything. You know, I'm kind of, you know, I got a lot of positive, you know, emails, a lot of positive messages over on MySpace. People I hit up from the last show who heard the interview with some girls. I don't know if you heard it. If you didn't hear it, you can check out the archives. We got archives over at tiredofbeingalive.com. Go over there and you can see it. There is archives over at revereradio.net, but I mean, for me, it's confusing. I can't even really find my way around through it, so hopefully you guys have better luck than I do. Maybe I'm just computer dumb, but I like things that are real basic. I don't need all the extra flashes. And I mean, if you go to tiredofbeingalive.com, that site couldn't get more basic. That's like the 1990s HTML version that I use, because I like it real basic, so you find it right there. So you can go to see the archives on tiredofbeingalive.com, hear all the shows. If you didn't hear the Some Girls interview last week, you need to check it out. It was, you know, a little on the controversial side with some of the stuff we were saying. I was thinking in retrospect afterward, like, oh no, you know, people are going to be, the NSA is going to be tapped into this one, hearing all the stuff that we were saying, you know, because JP at one point made the joke, you know, we're looking for the John Hinckley's out there, you know, John Hinckley Jr., if people don't know who that was, that's the guy who shot at Reagan, right? But, you know, we're not even looking for the John Hinckley's, really, because killing one president, one person, is not really going to do anything. We need somebody who's going to just be down for defeating the entire system and, you know, stop, first of all, stop doing all the things that are inside yourself, and once you change yourself and you change everything around you. And that's the type of people we need. We need more John Lennons, not the John Hinckley's, you know what I mean? And tonight we're going to be speaking with one of those John Lennon types. His name is Joshua Chambers. He was the singer, songwriter of this group called Sloppy Meat Eaters. They are an absolutely great independent touring band. They've been doing it for many years. They're like about 10 years touring independently. So you probably might have heard them, caught them in your town at one point. But tonight we're going to be speaking with Mr. Chambers, and he is absolutely brilliant mind. He is completely unlocked. He is one of those people that they say is out of the matrix, and he has got a lot to say, and I can't wait to hear what he is going to say, because he is a very intelligent, and we're just going to rap with him and hear what's up with his band. What are they doing currently? What is he doing currently? What is he? I know he's got a lot of projects in the works. That's something that I regretfully, after hearing that interview now with Some Girls, I wish I could have asked some different things, because I know that both of those people are also writers. Wes and JP are also writers, and they have some things in the works, some books. I know Wes has a zine. JP, I think, is working on the book. So, you know, I've completely blanked out on those things, but hopefully one day they will come back on the show and then give us an update on all those things, the things that I completely goofed on and didn't get to ask. But, you know, I just want to say thank you to all the people out there who did send the positive messages and the words of encouragement and just, you know, good things about the Some Girls interview. You know, I just want to ask for more of them. Anybody else want to say something? Anybody else want to just, you know, give us a shout, give us a holler. The email address that we can reach, that is j@tiredofbeingalive.com. And also, if you want to find us on MySpace, same thing. Go to the MySpace, they have a whatever, find friend by email address, do j@tiredofbeingalive.com, and you'll hook up with Save Your Generation on there. Also, you can find us at revereradio.net, over at, I don't know where else, I think that's it. But basically, thank you. Thanks to everyone tuning in. Thanks to everyone who tuned in tonight. Tell a friend. Spread the word about Save Your Generation. And spread the word about Revere Radio Network, because this is the worldwide home of free speech, and this is where the true media and the true information and the true alternative to what's being told on your nightly news on MTV and the radio and all the crap that you hear all the time, constantly the same recycled garbage. You know, one thing about this show that I attempt, we both do, to play songs that you're not going to hear on the radio. If you hear a song on here on the radio, then I haven't done my job. I haven't done it successfully. And I listen to, you know, a lot of other so-called alternative news and alternative, I mean, they don't think that alternative music goes hand in hand with the alternative, you know, thinking style, or, you know, you just think that alternative news is good enough, but you'll listen to the same watered down, recycled bullcrap music. Like to me, that's just dumbing you down just as much as everything else is. Like listening to that thoughtless, heartless, soulless, completely empty music. And tonight, you know, we're gonna try to break you out of that a little bit more. Each night we're gonna have guests, people that you might not have heard of, but you know, these are the important people, the same people like you and me who are trying to break through in the way that they were, you know, blessed in their talent, in their artistic format, if you will. But let's go to a song for now. Hopefully I will be joined with my guest, Joshua Chambers of the band Sloppy Meat Eaters, very shortly. I'm going to give him a call, get him on the line, then we'll be chatting it up. And you're listening to Save Your Generation. It's Friday, December 15th. This is the Revere Radio Network. And did I already tell you that I'm not going to have my co-host with me tonight? Because she is cramped down. You could probably wondering, like, hey, this is only one person. I thought this is a two-man combo, you know, but, you know, tonight I'm going to be flying solo, but I'll have Joshua with me. But Lindsay, as many of you can relate to right now, are doing the finals thing, having too much studying. I know you can all relate, people out there who do the school thing. I don't do the school thing because I think it's a scam, but, you know, everything is a scam. You just got to see which scam you can easier, you know, survive with. Some people can survive working the 9-to-5 all the time and not going to school and doing that, whatever can get you through so that you can spread the word, you know. Use that forum though. If you're just going to school and you're not dropping flyers or dropping DVDs at your professors or writing, you know, papers on crazy stuff like how vaccines give people autism and doing things like that, then you're wasting your forum, and you should be using this, you know, use it to your advantage. All right, let's play the song Save Your Generation.
Why haven't you learned anything?
Man, that school shit is a joke. The same people who control the school system control the prison system and the whole social system ever since slavery. You know what I'm saying?
Went to school with some redneck crackers. Right around the time Third Base dropped the Cactus album, but I was reading Malcolm. I changed my name in 89, cleaning parts of my brain like a baby 9. I took a history class serious, front row, every day of the week, third period, fucking with the teacher's head, calling them racist. I tried to show them crackers some light, they couldn't face it. I got my diploma from a school called Rickers, full of teenage mothers and drug dealing niggas in the hallways. The popo was always present, searching through niggas' possessions, looking for dope and weapons, get your lessons. That's what my moms kept stressing. I tried to pay attention, but their classes weren't interesting. They seemed to only glorify the Europeans, claiming Africans were only 3/5 of human beings.
They schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we could get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. Bullshit.
And see, dog.
until you get a job. You know what I'm saying? But they don't never tell you how the job gonna exploit you every time. You know what I'm saying? That's why I be like, fuck this school.
It's like a 12-step brainwash camp. They make you think if you drop out, you ain't got a chance to advance in life. They try to make you pull your pants up. Students fight the teachers and get took away in handcuffs. And if that wasn't enough, then they expel you. All your people's understanding, but to them, you a failure. Observation and participation, my favorite teachers. When they beat us in the head with them books, it don't reach us. Whether you break dance or rock, sway to Adidas, or be in the bathroom with your clique smoking reefer, then you know they mad class. Ain't important unless you add enough cash and multiples. Unemployment ain't rewarding. They may as well teach us extortion. You either get paid or locked up. The principal is like a warden in the 4-year stint. Mad niggas never finish, but that doesn't mean I couldn't be a doctor or a dentist.
State schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. State schools can't teach us shit. My people need freedom. We trying to get all we can get. All my high school teachers could suck my dick, telling me white man lies, straight bullshit. Bullshit.
State schools ain't teaching us what we need to know to survive.
Me off. Like, when I went to school, the education system complicated everything up for me, and it's still fucking going on. It's bullshit. So fuck the education system. Do it our own fucking way.
Welcome back to Save Your Generation. We are indeed doing it our own way here. You know, we do not believe in the corporate religious systems, the corporate political systems, or the corporate education systems. They are all flawed, and they are all a scam and a fraud. But, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. And I know that, you know, it's difficult to just completely drop out of life and, you know, say, I'm not gonna be a part of this system, you know, unless you're, you know, just wealthy by your good looks, I guess. Who out there is just wealthy by that way? I mean, I'm one good looking dude, but I'm not wealthy just from that, you know. Ha ha. Ah, ha ha. All right. So that was Dead Prez with They Schools. You know, we don't need They Schools because we can educate ourselves through truth, through music, and through love and the sharing of ideas. And that's what this show is all about. And that's what this person is all about. Very, very in tune. I mean, there's some people who are really in this who, if there's one person who I think that needs a show and would have something to say, it's this guy. And hopefully tonight will just be something that maybe he will say, you know, being on the radio, something I need to do. Because just talking to him, I spoke with him the other night for about, you know, like an hour. It just flew by with him because he is a brilliant mind. And I maybe I can convince him to get a show on Revere and he could have a lot to say. It would be great. But I think that people who say that they don't have time to do a show but then are just going to talk in the background of your show are not only extremely rude and distracting, but then they're like, what? You're just going to say your stuff to the air to try to mess me up? It's weird. But I don't know. What else? What else is going on? Oh, that Boston Tea Party for 9/11 Truth. I want to give you some more information about that because I briefly like mentioned it in the beginning. But all right. The website is boston911truth.org. Check that out. And here's a little info about it. It says, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here are some cities. Boston, San Francisco, D.C., Milwaukee, St. Louis, Philadelphia, possibly more. So find out where it's happening in your town. But if you're going to come to the Boston area, it's happening. Well, let's see. Who cares? Go to the website and find out yourself. But this, I think it's, looking over this website now, you know, it reminded me of some stuff that I had said in the email to these people, you know, because they're doing the whole, like, colonial gear, dressing up as, like, a colonial, because that's what the Tea Party was, but that's not historically correct, and that's what I wrote to them in the email. I, like, kind of questioned, I just asked them, I thought it was polite, asking why they were, you know, dressing up in that way, because if you want to be historically correct about the Tea Party, the people dressed up as Indians, and, you know, wasn't that what they, I mean, you can look this up, this is fact, like, the people who did it dressed up as Indians, and then they went and threw the tea in, so dressing up in the colonial gear, I don't really understand, but, I mean, I guess it's for effect to make people think about old times by doing it that way, but, I mean, who knows if this will be any more effective or any more, you know, insulting to Indians to dress up like that? I don't think it is. No. You didn't hear that, but again, like I just said, I got a lot of stuff coming in from behind me that I'm responding to. Shanice, just pick up the microphone if she wants to say something.
Hi, everyone. I'm trying to do my stupid homework, but I keep getting distracted.
Distracted with the show that you should have been doing. I mean,
yeah, you know what?
The school system is a joke. Stop,
you know what?
Burn your books.
In like 1 week. I can burn them all, and then I'll be all set. Yeah. No, I don't know. I was just saying that. I don't know. What was I just saying?
You were saying I heard something about them dressing up as Indians would be offensive to Indians.
No, yeah. Nowadays, it'd probably be considered offensive or in some fashion.
It was supposed to be offensive in the first place. That's what they were trying to say, that Indians, quote, were the, like, vicious ones who would do something like that. So if they got caught, the people would say, oh, look, it was a bunch of Indians who did it, and not, you know, the people who, that's why they dress like that.
I thought it was, and it wasn't even supposedly tea that they were dumping. They were dumping opium. And that's like a whole, it was like supposedly Freemasons that were having something imported in, and, I don't know, it got broken up by the people who I don't know if it was people like anti-people shipping it in, or if it had to
I
do
think
with
they were upset about the price they were getting, like someone was trying to cut in on their, you know, whatever kind of
importing
that they were doing, and someone wanted to cut in and get like a cheaper price or something. I don't know. You can all look into it. This is all things that, you know, in modern history, you've been lied to about just about everything. Absolutely everything. I mean, so you really need to look into these things and see what really happened. But this Tea Party for Truth, I think that, personally, I think it could have been, I mean, maybe it'll be great. Maybe this Boston thing will be great. I think they could have set it up a little better. Like, first of all, they could have got, you know, people like the Loose Change people to show that movie or any other movie. When I last spoke with them, they were showing this movie, Everybody's Gotta Learn Sometime. And if you've ever seen that movie, it doesn't give any type of, like, scientific evidence, any type of hardcore info. It's like partisan politic finger pointing and all types of just just dumb stuff. Stuff that, like, you know, stuff about the alleged hijackers and things like that. Stuff that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if, you know, scientifically possible that these buildings couldn't fall. I don't care who the hijacker was. They're not, you know, Houdini that can make buildings fall. Who cares who these people were? Let's talk about the real scientific hardcore evidence. And that's what this movie doesn't do, and I don't see the point of showing it. And I said that to these people. So maybe that's why these people never got back to me, but they were, you know, happy to take I'm not saying they took the idea, but I did say that other cities should all do the same thing, and now they are. So, think about it. You can be a vehicle, an instrument of change, an effective person just from the outside looking in and giving little hints and doing little things. And that's what I think this show and people like you listening need to do more. You know, we need to all be active in everything and be a part of it. And all right, let's go to a song right now. And hopefully when we get back, we will be with our guest on Save Your Generation. Stay tuned.
You ain't the first son of a bitch to wake up out of their dream.
Revere Radio.
For tuning in to Save Your Generation. You just heard one of my all-time favorite bands, one of the greatest songs ever written, Do Not Consider Yourself Free. The last line of that song, it says, as long as there are others held captive, do not consider yourself free. And that's what so many people are doing and have done throughout history. You just look at how Nazi Germany happened. People, you know, they were like, oh, they're only going after the Jews, so I'm not really worried. You know, they can do whatever they want, even though they're killing massive people. And that's what's happening right now. They're saying, well, they're only going after the bad terrorists and the bad Muslims, so we're just not going to worry that they're killing them and keeping them held captive. But the truth of the matter is that those Jews were innocent, just like all of these Muslims and innocent people who are being held captive in these things like Guantanamo and the other, you know, Abu Ghraib, all these places. These people are innocent. No one's ever been held on any charge of being a terrorist or anything like that. They've all been found innocent. No charges, nothing. So then who does that mean that these laws are really being used on? Innocent people like you and me. Anyone that they feel like plucking out and taking to some secret prison camp, or the not so secret ones, like the ones that are being built by Halliburton all across the United States. So don't consider yourself free, because you're not free either. They're not free, no one's free. And that was a band called Embrace. The record is by the same name. They only put out one LP, and it's, if you were to ask me, you know, 5 years ago and or 5 years from now, any, you know, what are your top five favorite albums of all time, that definitely would be one of them. It's an absolutely great record. You need to pick it up. You need to find it. Go, you know. The reason why I'm telling you all this stuff about the music, you know, some people don't get it. Some people don't understand, you know, the purpose of music and what it's really used for. And, you know, and I think that's why so much mainstream bullcrap has been allowed to slide, because people don't even actually realize that music is storytelling and a vehicle for change. You're supposed to be using this instrument and using it to do something. It's like a weapon. And people just think it's, you know, some, you know, you go on Azurus or whatever, you know, Soulseek, whatever, and you type in the word punk and then download the first 10 songs and say, okay, well, now I'm punk. I know what punk is. I'm cool now. No, that's not how it works, dude. You gotta actually get into it and live this. And, you know, I'm just trying to open your eyes up to what's really going on in the world and open your eyes up to music that is actually good. And that's why we're gonna have my guest on right after this song. We're gonna go one more song right now because we're just setting up for this interview with my guest Josh Chambers from the band Sloppy Meat Eaters. Why don't we play one of their songs right now so you can get a picture of, you know, I always say, if you want to find out what type of person, you know, how this person is, anyone, you listen to the music that they listen to, and you listen to the music that they have, you know, created or produced or whatever, and then that'll give you an idea of what this person is really like. And, you know, I think it's a great indication of people. Yeah, as you can see, my music taste, I'm an insane person, obviously, because my music taste range from Dead Prez to Embrace. So, you know, that just goes to show that, you know, you gotta just be out everywhere and stop being so sheltered and listening to the same five. So I think I hear the same five songs rotated on every single show, on Alex Jones' show, on your show, on every show. So, I mean, Jack Blood, I give him credit because he does pull out some gems sometimes. He throws in like Rocket from the Crypt, a lot of great stuff that I would not expect to hear from other people, you know, people outside of this music scene. But, you know, Jack Blood obviously is really down and knows what's up, or he has somebody picking his music for him. Who knows what's up. I've never spoken to the guy, but he sounds like a good dude. Maybe I can, Rob will hook me up with his and have him on the show so we can discuss music, because that's not, I know he probably doesn't know a lot about music, but he doesn't get a chance on his show to talk about it and play, you know, a lot of songs. He's got a little more of a, you know, daily news show. But alright, let's get my buddy Josh on the Lizine. We're gonna play a song by his band, the Sloppy Meat Eaters, off their latest album called Conditioned by the Laugh Track. We're going to talk about that title because I love it. Here on Save Your Generation.
Yes, 260.
And I've reached the Omega level.
Can I reach Omega level?
God gave us oil. He gave it to us. How can God's gift be bad?
Well, I don't know. He gave you a brain, too, and you messed that up pretty damn good.
I want you sons of bitches out of my house now.
If Hitler were alive, he'd tell you not to think about oil.
You're the Hitler! We took a Sudanese refugee into our home!
You did. But how did Sudan happen, ma'am? Could it possibly be related to dictatorships that we support for some stupid reason?
You shut up! You get out!
You shut up!
Stop! Stop! Stop living so ugly. You didn't learn that on your own. Yeah.
This simple, everlasting moment of existence is the summit of our life. In this moment, our reality tunnels move about in an intricate web of possibilities. If we can perceive it, we can actualize it. The more we experience and learn, the stronger our belief systems grow. But there is a problem. Two entities already monopolize the belief system market. Religious institutions, along with political and economic ideologies, violently compete between one another, each with the goal of spreading their interpretation of existence as the one true answer. Always question the motives of an institution that so blatantly uses fear to maintain influence. You know, terrorist attacks, an eternal damnation in a lake of fire. Obviously, some are more clever than others. Believe only what you yourself test and judge to be true. We are limitless under the laws of free will and free thought. Blind faith may appear safe, but I would encourage us all to discover our own distinct vision of existence. This simple, everlasting moment of existence. There is no absolute reality. There is no absolute reality. There is no absolute reality.
Thanks for staying tuned in to Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. We are joined now on the line by our guest, a man who could tell you a little bit more about that last song you just heard, probably than I could. That was Sloppy Meat Eaters with the song Stop. And we are on the line with the singer, songwriter, vocalist, guitarist of that group. And why don't you just say hello to everyone? Just let them know that you're...
Hello, pleasure to be here.
Great, it's a pleasure to have you, and I'm so excited to be able to speak with you about some issues and things. You know, that album, I said before the break, Conditioned by the Laugh Track, I absolutely love that title because there are so many people that I know, people that I'm sure everyone listening knows, who are completely conditioned by the laugh track, and they're so glued to the television set. And, you know, to me, I don't even watch television. I think that it makes you completely lose, you know, the good values that you once had. The TV will tell you that those values are bad and turn you into something completely horrific. But, you know, the people who do watch the TV with the laugh track, to me it's insulting. It's like you're not intelligent enough to know when something's funny or not intelligent enough to know when to laugh. So they have to put this in there to give you a hint. You know, but just tell me a little bit about that song, that album, and just, you know, how you, I mean, you obviously, when you wrote this album, you were somewhat in the know, in tune, out of this matrix, you know. Give us a little insight about that.
Well, the song itself is about drugs and how my small town and my circle of friends have all gone through the layers of the drug world. And you know, the speed, the methamphetamines, the pharmaceuticals, all the synthetic poison that, you know, the big guys pump into the small towns to get everyone addicted. It's very apparent here in Rome, Georgia, and most small towns that have a working class community. I've noticed that methamphetamines really, you know, is the strongest where some factory has just let off 10,000 people, and so you have 10,000 unemployed. You've got to control them somehow. Television doesn't always work, but so drugs and television really kind of go hand in hand. And mind you, there are good drugs. There are, you know, if it comes from nature, I strongly support it. But if it's man-made, I'm very suspicious. So it stops just about me and my friends being addicted to drugs and just feeding into the control and perpetuating it. And then the album itself is just kind of a little introspection on my life growing up glued to the television, because CUR came up with a single mother, and she's working, and she needed to occupy me, and she was young and naive, so she put me in front of it, and I grew up with it. And
you know, I think a lot of us can relate to that.
I realized that, wow, what have I done to my consciousness? Can I ever come completely back out of this? Can I reclaim my nature? And 3 years later, I'm not there yet, but I'm a lot better off than I was, and I think that really sums it up.
Well, I think that's the first step.
Trying to make the now better than all the past nows. That's my theme.
Well, that's true. First, like you said, you have to realize that, you know, something is wrong. And so many people aren't willing to realize. And, you know, they say the first step is admitting that you have the problem. And, you know, so many people are addicted to TV. And it isn't any of our faults. This is something that we've been, you know, bred that way. And it's a billion dollar industry.
I mean, it's bound to work.
Someone's buying, you know. It's as simple as that. But tell us more about, you know, Rome, Georgia, and where you're from. A little bit about, you know, who you are, the band, how it came together. I said that you had been touring for a very, very long time. I said something like 10 years. How long has it been exactly?
The band formed about 7 years ago. It was me and a friend, Kevin Highfield, and. You know, every album is a different sound and a different group of people, and that never was planned. I always wanted to have a happy family, but, you know, I guess patterns repeat themselves, and, you know, every new habit, is an old habit. And Rome, Georgia is a very small southern town, NASCAR, Southern Baptist, American Idol, karaoke, get drunk, really a terrible place as far as community and culture, but if you look past the humans, it's actually absolutely beautiful with the mountains and the trees and the nature. So, you know, it's like everywhere else. There's beauty and there's poison, and I try to stay on the beauty side of things, which kind of translates into me not communicating with anyone, really. Isolation is godliness, maybe, for right now. So I'm just, you know, doing a little boot camp on myself, mental, soul, body, just trying to get healthy on all fronts and really deprogram myself. I mean, every day is 7 to 10 hours of just focus on who am I, why am I this way, what is my best option to break away, because each individual, depending on how they are raised or what little culture corner they came from, you're going to have to dismantle a different way. And, you know, right now my focus is what is the best model of presentation to get the people who are still in the trance, and that's most everyone, to snap out of it and then start looking and learning for themselves. Because, you know, we can holler and yell, 9/11 is the inside job, the elite, the Illuminati, all this external conspiracy, but it's just going to sound like madness to the programmed zombie. And it even says in the Bible, I always find this interesting, that the ultimate evil, the Satan, the Lucifer, he will try to use reason and ration you out of your belief in blind faith. So they're prepared for you. They think you're Satan because that's how they're programmed. So my basic goal is to find the best way to just snap somebody and have them go looking for themselves, because that's really the only way people will wake up, is if they apply themselves and yearn for the knowledge.
Well, that's where it all begins. It begins internally first with self-actualization, you know, really knowing what you are, what we are a part of, what's really happening, and then you can start to apply that externally to the people around you. Then the people will even feed off your positiveness, you know, what they can start seeing the change in you, and then, you know, that will be an inspiration to them. How has it changed your music? How is, you know, you finding out about all these things changed, you know, your fan base? Has it changed your writing process? Has it changed your touring? Because I know that you're taking a break from touring right now. Give us a little info about that.
Well, it's changed everything. Absolutely. And this last tour that I did with my friends was a 13-month tour that started off with rock and roll clubs and loud speakers and, you know, gritty backstages and that kind of scene, I guess. And then as I was awakening and as we were experiencing life outside of routine, because that's the perfect thing touring lifestyle gives you. It breaks your routine and just shows you that you are just this sentient being floating in the ether with infinite possibility around you. And yet we're programmed into these ridiculous, fixed, simplistic, boring patterns. But so touring really opened my eyes to how, I don't know, terribly mediocre I'd been living my life, and just coming to my new perception, I would have to say that I've alienated myself from 90% of the people I was around before, because they just can't accept it at all. I mean, it just sounds like madness to them, and I understand, because it sounded like madness to me too at first. But and musically, I have a new found inspiration, because now instead of just promoting myself, my ego, my band, you know, the material, superficial side of things, I can attach a true cause that is the only cause, which is truth and self-actualization, and apply that to people. And because before then, you know, it was all about, you know, just the ego, the individual self, which is not bad, but because they want to kill our egos and take our individuality away, and I'm not suggesting that, but I do believe there's a balance. And, you know, you really have to act in your moment while we still have that ability to act. And the way things are looking, and I know you will agree, they are tightening the noose around us. And there's not going to be much longer before we can't have these conversations on the phone.
I was going to say, this show, this network, this movement, it doesn't, I mean, unless something happens where, you know, we all demand that they don't take, I mean, these are our freedoms that, you know, the military commissions and the Patriot Act things are stealing. Like, these aren't something that they have granted us. Our freedoms aren't granted.
It's a matter of time. When they put in Internet 2, all websites that can't pay the hefty fine and keep standardized will be shut off. And that's what's going to happen. And they may prolong it a few more years, but it's going to happen. So we just need to understand that that's coming.
And then we need to start thinking of alternative ways to try to combat this. How are we going to, if none of us can get an internet station, then how do we still share the information? How do we do it? I say you do it.
We come back to the human interaction. You know, we don't have that anymore. Get a group of people in your library and share ideas. I mean, my God, that's the revolution right there. I can't imagine that. I'm so plugged into the internet and the cell phones and the text messages, even though I resent it and hate it, it's used because we are brainwashed. I mean, you and I mean, we still are brainwashed, and everyone around us are brainwashed. So I think the real revolution is eye contact and getting out into your local community and speaking to people. And because people need that. Everybody wants that interaction. And if you give it to them, then you're going to be able to penetrate their consciousness a little bit better if you approach them in person rather than through technology.
I agree, and I think that's why David Icke is so successful, because he does, you know, tours and things like that. And I think that, you know, a band has the greatest. That's why I love I love music so much because, you know, you said you were doing touring, and I bet during that touring period, you met so many different people. And if we could, you know, have people do tours and share this information person to person, you know, face to face, then even if they did take away the internet, we could still do that. We could still, you know, well, then they probably will just have all toll roads and Texas corridors and things like that.
It's
so you
coming.
Can't even, so we wouldn't even be allowed to drive around, you know. That's another thing. How did you guys get around on the gas? I mean, that's what I think is so incredible about bands, especially bands that are touring independently, not getting a big budget from a big label, giving them thousands of dollars a tour. People that are doing it out of pocket and doing it strictly for the love. How, you know, that stuff must be tough. How are you still planning on doing more tours? Or
not for a while. I did, in 7 years, there was 15 tours, and then this last tour was 13 months. And for the last 8 months since it's ended, I've been trying to get a grip on reality again, like standstill reality, the same city every day, the same living space. It's very eerie, but so I'm starting to get comfortable with that routine and comfort, so I think I want to keep it for a little while. And really, I'm just working on books and new music and my health. And my health is number one. I have to fix my, what would you call it? My blemishes, my spiritual blemishes, my mental blemishes, my physical inaction.
Well, you know, we all have them.
And read for hours, 10 hours, play guitar for 10 hours, but, you know, I rarely move my body because I'm so stuck in my mental realm, and that's not healthy, and I'm trying to fix that. So, no touring anytime soon, but, you know, who knows?
How about some new material? I know that this, you know, this has inspired me. I'm going to be honest, you have inspired me. I've done some musical things in the past. I don't really talk about my music that much because I'm not so proud of it. I mean, I should be more proud, but I've been inspired to write, so I've been writing new things and songs, and that's because, you know, you've inspired me. People who I see who are being a musician and at the same time being an activist, you know, to me, I thought it was an impossibility to be able to, you know, concentrate on both. But have you been writing on working on writing songs? Do you have any new stuff for us? Are you going to? Because I know that, you know, when you find out about all this stuff, it is inspiring. You know, you want to get the word out, and you want to do it through music and through art.
Absolutely, and I agree. I would say that I have Baker's dozen new songs, and they are all about the truth outside of our box. And, you know, there's themes, and there's an absolute theme, you know, of waking people up, because I feel that is the only noble thing I can do externally, while I find peace in, on my own way internally. I don't know how long I'll be on this earth, and I want to project some positive influence and inspiration into the ether around me, because that is the way to do it, and that is our only option as human beings. As we are a dying breed of individual human beings, this is the last generation of free-thinking, spontaneous, sentient beings, and you know, we really need to take advantage of this moment, and you need to get out there and hit the street corners. That's the best way to do it. Play 30 songs a day on the street corner to people that don't give a damn, and you will not only get better playing by practicing, but your spirit will just, you'll find real resolution, because you won't need people to accept you. You're doing it for the sake of doing it. And that's what I would recommend any musician, to really go the street corner way, which is something at the end of the 13-month tour, we had just kind of devolved into a street corner three-guitar act, where for 2 months we went up and down the West Coast randomly, spontaneously playing on street corners just to have that interaction with all those different kind of people that you don't normally get at the clubs. So that was a real eye-opener. And
I've actually seen some video of that. It's absolutely incredible. Some people were taking camera phone videos and doing things like that, and they put them on YouTube. So if you want to go out there, people, search them out. Search for Sloppy Meat Eater stuff on YouTube, and you'll see it. And you'll see them in live action just in a street corner. And the people out there, you can all tell that the people are having a great time. They're absolutely psyched and enthused. And, you know, people like that, those are the type of people that are going to be receptive and are going to want to hear the message. And, you know, we just need to reel them on in. We just need to think of a way. What do you think is the most, I'd say, the most relevant or the most important tool in waking these people up? Like, when you try to begin talking with something like this to someone who has no idea, well, even better yet, how did you find out about all of this?
Well, there was a low 3 years ago. I just hit the lowest low you could hit, or at least at the time, and that was what made me go towards knowledge, just to better my mind. And I didn't have any direction. I just started reading. And a couple years went by, and I was handed the book Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper. And that really snapped me out of my trance. And after that, I went on to Zachariah Sitchin, and then into David Icke world, and then Alex Jones world. And I'm currently listening to Alan Watt. He's this fellow from Canada who I think really has it better than all the other people. I mean, he really comes from the source of truth, and he doesn't spin it to where, you know, he's trying to sell a product like the rest of those guys, except maybe William Cooper didn't. But the rest of those guys are trying to sell a product. Make no mistake about it. So I think they're flawed right there. But Alan Watt, I recommend it, cuttingthroughthematrix.com. You will find some really enlightening stuff right there. And I would say that those authors were primary in getting me thinking about certain subjects. And then I would go and just, I've watched many videos off your site, tiredofbeingalive.com, which a lot of great stuff. And really, it's all intuition. I just go with whatever's interesting, and it's very peculiar how everything is connected and how all the coincidences and bits of knowledge end up tying themselves together. And
yeah, the coincidences really get you. Like, you can make yourself crazy about coincidence, because I know when I first started finding out all the things that had happened and how, you know, there's so many coincidences and things that just seem like they wouldn't be able to piece together, just somehow piece themselves together. And you got to think, all right, is this coincidence or conspiracy? And you got to, you know, just research absolutely everything constantly. What other type of researchers do you like, other than, you said his name was Alan Watt or White?
Watt, W-A-T-T.
All right, I'll have to check him out.
Michael Tazarian, he's pretty knowledgeable in the occult, which I'm fairly fascinated with. And, you know, I really don't pay too much attention to names. I just kind of go on little missions to find out a certain subject. I'll study World War One. I'll study Vietnam. And then I'll notice that they all make current events a lot clearer. And
that's true.
I would say that, you know.
Well, you know, if you don't know your past,
have you seen that I haven't mentioned that's worthwhile?
Well, you know, like you said, I don't really go by the names. I was just asking to try to throw out some ideas for other people out there, people who are listening who might not, you know, when we say Alex Jones, people, you know, the people who are in this movement know who we're talking about, but the other people might not know. So maybe they might be interested in finding out about a David Icke or a Tex Mars or any of the other people. I think everyone is just a instrument you know, a vessel to bring us this truth, this message. And, you know, we need to discern who's telling the complete truth, who's trying to sell something, and who's definitely holding something back or who's twisting it to really fit their own agenda. And, you know, we will be led by, the Bible calls it, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we need to determine
Absolutely.
The truth from the error.
It really comes down to this. I mean, there's a fundamental choice you have to make. Is the self, the consciousness in your body, the ghost in the machine, is the self important or is it irrelevant? You have to make that choice, because that's the two belief systems they set out in front of you. And I believe that self is absolutely your most important entity that you will ever experience in life. So to avoid it and to say it doesn't exist and to kill it off and get that mentality going of the New Agers, of we are all one, which I bought into for a little bit, but in the last few weeks I've really had some epiphanies about that and how they're getting us to have a hive mind and to, you know, discard individuality as a vice and something crude and ugly, when in fact it is the most beautiful thing and the realest thing that we have. So you have to know the difference between self and collectivism. And once you do that, the research, your questions will lead you to wherever you need to go. The consciousness is so brilliant that, you know, it really will guide you. That's the spirit they speak of, the spirit that is inside of you. I believe that is, it has all knowledge. It has everything that you need inside you. That concept of the New Agers use truth and they use disinformation, because there is a source of divinity inside of us, I believe. And I believe that it has every tidbit of knowledge that you can get already inside of you, and that's why when we come across it in the outside world, it's almost like you already knew it. I don't know if you had that feeling. You learn something new, but then it almost feels like you always knew it.
No, that's exactly how I felt.
It's tapping into the collective unconscious.
You are exactly right, and I... You know, when I found out about the deception that the Catholic Church had, you know, changed the Bible and done some things and distorted it and able to mislead people, you know, it was kind of like not a surprise to me. It was like, oh, well, that makes sense. Everything completely fell into place and made sense, and realized why so many people could be confused and why there would be billions of people who are now just basically brainwashed, mindless slaves who blindly follow into man's religions instead of trying to have a personal relationship with a creator, instead of, you know, a personal relationship with these laws that these people have decided to call a religion, when in fact it's nothing but a sham. But
it's a regulated, standardized spirituality. It's like going to Walmart and buying your spirituality off the shelf that everybody buys, either this one or the next one or the other one, the three choices they give you, instead of you sitting down and staring inside your being and understanding the world from your own unique perspective. That's what it's all about. It's drawing outside of the lines. You know, draw your life outside of the lines. And speaking of the Catholic Church, is there anything good about that institution, or are they just completely evil from the root? Tell me, because that's what it seems. It seems like they're just completely evil to the root.
Well, no, I think they're getting better now, because they just appointed Henry Kissinger as their political advisor. So now they're doing...
That's hilarious, and you're right, they did. Henry Kissinger...
is probably...
What was it? An advisor? Is that what they called him? An advisor to the Pope?
Yes.
He's in the White House every day, sitting in the chair, talking to George W., telling him what to do. You know...
And then he goes to the
really
Pope.
Funny. When you start to wake up, you see that they're doing things on purpose. That's so blatant.
Because they know no one's paying attention. Yes, that's exactly what they know, that people don't even know who Henry Kissinger is. They don't even, they can't even comprehend what that name means. So he can be the advisor to the Pope and just, you know, really throw it in everyone's face that these evil Satanist, Luciferian, whatever you want to call them, just bad people are running things, completely running things.
Yeah. And these Luciferian people, you know, I can't say that their belief is that far off from where I am right now, where they say that, you know, there may not be a God, per se, and that each individual can actualize their own Godhood, what's that, the word? Godhead, whatever, semantics, and that they sit on the throne of the kingdom of Earth because they know the secret that, you know, man is his own God, and people aren't allowed to know that. They're supposed to suffer in this life. They're supposed to turn the other cheek when they're being robbed and raped and beaten, and they're supposed to discard this life altogether, serve, obey, and fear, so that in the next life you'll have a utopia. I mean, it's so ridiculous. It's just, people don't obey or fear or discard this life. This is all you have, this moment. This single moment is all we have. Why would we submit to something that makes us miserable? And their system makes us miserable. We are all miserable because that is how we're programmed to be. It's not an accident. It's not our fault. You know?
That is the beast system.
I don't know if they're all evil up there at the top, but I bet you a lot of them are. But I have to believe that they're, even at the elite, there are some good people. And maybe that's why we have, you know, some freedom right now, because of those certain elite.
Well, I do believe that there are. Oh, no. You know, I just took a look at the time, and I realized that we've been running for, like, 30 minutes now, nonstop. Let's go to a break. It's just so easy to talk to you.
30 yeah. minutes already? Wow.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just simple to talk to you, Josh. I'm telling you, we're going to have to do another show, because this is probably going to go on all night, and, you know, we're not still going to get through all the things that I would love to. I want to talk to you about the Georgia Guidestones, because you live in Georgia, so you've actually seen them. I would love to go get up close and personal with them, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of other things. Let's play another Sloppy Meat Eater song right now. How about, let's say, So It Goes? Is that a good one for right now?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, we're going to hear another one from Sloppy Meat Eaters. Absolutely great band. If you don't have their record Conditioned by the Laugh Track, well, you're messing up, and you need to go out and buy it. That's why I have these on, to wake you guys up to some good music that you need to be listening to. Stuff that's going to help prepare you for the fight, prepare you for this revolution. And we'll be back in 1 minute on Save Your Generation. This is the Revere Radio Network.
It's here for the Lord Hour. The Mash Girl and Lady Revere.
I'm a Tralfamadorian. You're on the planet Tralfamador. 423 billion miles from Earth.
Oh, Jesus.
Suffocating.
thing, and you've not understood what I've said.
Thanks for staying tuned. This is Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. You just heard Sloppy Meat Eaters with another one, So It Goes. I absolutely love, I love the sample that's on that, where at the end part especially, it says, you know, if you think that death is something bad, you're not really understanding. You know, death is the only way that we can truly get all this infinite knowledge. Even the Bible says that the mystery of God, everything that people have always wanted to know, everything you've ever wanted to know will be revealed at death. So how could death be something, you know, bad? It's just another...
Well, I hope that's true. And if it is true, then, wow, I can't wait. And if it's not true, what a bummer.
That would be an entirely huge letdown. But then again, you know, the alternative to that is... If there is no, you know, big mystery revealed, no big shindig, you know, at the end of it, then at least, you know, you got nothing to look forward to, bad, negative either, you know? Yeah. So, I guess there's two ways of looking.
Inevitability, no doubt about it.
Well, to quote the Immortal Technique's on, death is just another part of life. So that's, you know, it's just something that we all got to live with and all deal with. But, death is something that the New World Order, I think, loves a little too much, not for the reasoning of, you know, what comes after death, but death so that the people who are still living can celebrate and enjoy that death. And when you look at things like the Georgia Guidestones, I think it's really evident that they do love death. I mean, the very first thing that they want is to, it says, well, people who aren't familiar with the Georgia Guidestones, you've actually been there. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about what it is, what you thought of it? Because, I mean, to me, it's magnificent. And I saw a picture of you that was standing next to it. I didn't really grasp how large it was until seeing a picture of someone standing next to it. And it's massive.
Yes. Well, I saw a video on it on your website, as a matter of fact. And I thought, this is in Georgia? This Stonehenge, this message to the future of mankind from the elite that are doing all that people call the Illuminati, that are turning us into a world government and then essentially going to call off 90% of the population. They put it in stone in Newburgh, Georgia, which is 3 hours from me. I watched the video. I couldn't believe it. I went to the website about it, read the Ten Commandments they have, was shocked. And the next day, I got my mom to go with me, because she woke up, she knows what's going on, and we drove 3 hours there, and it's in the middle of the country, there's no development anywhere nearby, it's beautiful, no McDonald's, nothing, it's just untouched, beautiful scenery, and there's actually a cow pasture around it. It would have been really scary if there was a sheep pasture there, I would have been a little freaked out. But they were cows, and essentially the first commandment is to keep the Earth population at 500 million, and if you do a little research, Google it, you'll find out there's about 6.5 billion people on Earth right now.
So 6 billion got to die.
500 million, that's a lot of death, and they say in their own documents, as Alex Jones and all those truth-seeking celebrities say, they say it in their paperwork that they're going to kill us. And they're doing it now with our food poison, our water poison, our air poison, our mental poison, our soul poison. We are just getting ready to die. So when you realize this, it sounds terrible. Oh, my God, this is the worst thing you can imagine. But it's actually the best thing in the world to realize it. Then you can take advantage and truly enjoy your moment while you have it and make a positive difference. Some of the other commandments in it that I found pretty fascinating was to avoid useless officials. You know, I think that's a great one. But I think what they mean by that is get rid of any blockage to consolidating the governments into one power. And that's, what else did I say? Be not a cancer, leave room for nature. That's the last one. Very interesting, because the religion they're going to push on us, our new world religion, will be on the false front of it. It'll be a worshiping of nature. And so they'll program us so that we'll give up our life for nature.
Yes, yeah. You will lay down your life for a tree.
It is our duty. I mean, that's what they're gearing us up for. And, you know, 9 out of 10 of the commandments I agree with. It's that 10th one about depopulation that even I can't, who I don't really, I'm sort of a misanthropic person. I don't, humanity's disappointed me. I'm trying to be optimistic, but killing 90% of the population just so that a few can have an elite paradise is, I mean, who makes that decision? And not me. I don't want it. And I don't want to know anybody who thinks they can do it. I don't want that kind of person in my vision or my existence. So that's the Georgia Guidestones. It's manifested proof of what they're going to do. And it was done in the 80s, mysterious. They used a pseudonym, R.C. Christian, which I'm sure has some symbolic meaning.
Oh, absolutely. I heard about that one. Yeah, I know slightly about it. I didn't read a lot about it. It says that R.C. Christian was some type of author or someone who, you know, has this elitist type of, you know, world depopulation thing. But, you know, when you think about the world depopulation plan and you think about global warming and how they're saying that we are overpopulated and that's why all these bad things are happening to the Earth, it seems a little suspicious. It seems a little too perfect for their timing, you know, the way that they want people dead, and now saying that, you know, the reason why the Earth is so messed up is because it's overpopulated. But I am a believer of, I don't believe in religion, I don't believe in any type of, you know, organized, any type of religion, but I do believe in those ancient scripts with people call the Bible, because they have a lot of stuff written in it that has a lot of great points. For example, the first thing is that God created two people and then told them that they need to be fruitful and multiply. Now, if you think that two people can multiply into 6.5 billion, I think that the God who created this world would have known that it would have gotten to such exponential numbers. So do you think that he would have made a world too small to be able to, you know, hold all of these people comfortably? And if you look at the facts, there's more than enough room. There's more than enough room just in America for everyone to live comfortably. Yeah, there's more than enough room for everyone. So this is all a big farce, and maybe what they'll do is, I don't know if you've ever watched the show. It's a cartoon. I'm a sucker for cartoons. I don't like TV, but I love cartoons. And there's one called Futurama, and
I haven't seen that one.
If you watch it, it is a New World Order plan. Like, the first season of it is complete New World Order everything, like the agenda and all of it. It really is telling. And one of the funny things in there, because it's supposed to be set like 1,000 or 2,000 years in the future, what they have is a suicide booth, and it only costs a quarter, because that's what they want you to do, is to go in and kill yourself, and it doesn't, you know.
They charge you a quarter, that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. But it's only a quarter, you know, because it's cheap. Life is cheap. Life's only worth a quarter. You can go kill yourself. You know, that's part of the plan.
Alan Watt talks a great deal about predictive conditioning, how they tell you how the world's going to be with cartoons and fiction and novels, and they tell you what it's going to be like so that the mind is ready for it. And just to put the numbers in perspective, in the 20th century, 1900 to 2000, there was approximately, I think the number I read was 100 million people were killed during the wars and military battles. You know, you think, wow, that's a lot. 100 million were killed, you know, aggressively with force. Well, 6 billion people have to die, and soon is what they're saying. And that's unfathomable. I mean, not really. I mean, you got to look at the spraying in the sky. You got to look at the water poison, your food poison, and just look at your health. You're crumbling. We're crumbling. This is real. This is not a joke. This would be a sick joke. To perpetuate this and not know that it's 100% would be evil, I think. You could classify it as evil. But their documents, their head spokesman for the public admitted. They just say it very casually and use the word call, C-U-L-L. You look it up, and it's not a pretty word, you know, especially when you apply it to the meaning of the sentence. And I think that's the most essential. I mean, that's the way you're going to get people to wake up. Hey, they're going to kill you. They're going to. Look at it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at these points. And your intuition, your rationale, that combination will allow you to see and to know.
You know, I'm hoping.
People, take that silly phone earpiece off your face, you foolish robots.
Yeah, really, I don't.
I can't stand it. And people that think voting is a privilege and an honor and is something that works, it's an insult to common sense.
I mean, who doesn't know that the votes were stolen?
Be organic,
I mean,
commune with nature. Accept it. We are under sophisticated mind control right now. Even as we talk like this, we're barely on the top. As I like, I'm going to keep quoting Alan Watt. He said that there's different levels of awakening, and most of us only get to the ceiling of the first level. And I'm pretty sure that's where we are. I think we have the capacity to go further, but you have to commit your life to it. You have to change all of your routine and habit. You have to dismantle your identity and realize who you really are, not who you are forced to believe you are. And would you not agree with that?
I agree with that 100%. You know, it's funny that you used the word dismantling your identity, because that's one of my all-time favorite movies. I play clips from it on the show all the time. It's called I Heart Huckabees. Yes, it's absolutely brilliant. And the people who write that, I mean, they have to be. I mean, they even have the one guy who's, you know, crazy because of the big September thing. You know, they are writing it about the people like us, the people who see these things and know these things and are just going frantic, trying to tell everyone, like, please, you need to be realizing this. And it's, you know, I always say
it. But at the same time, that movie and the same with What the Bleep Do We Know, there's that whole agenda underneath it that says, hey, you know, everything outside of you is an illusion. You know, individual self is your enemy. That you got to be one with the collective hot mind. So that's the only bad part about those movies, is they throw in that. That is directed towards people who are waking up. They are guiding us into, they're using a lot of truth, but then they have a net behind the truth, which is this we are one with the hive mind crap. I mean, they want us to be one mind. They don't want us to have individual self, and that's evil. You know, depopulation, number one, killing individuality, number two. And you know what? I'd actually reverse that.
I think that, I think you're exactly right, that their plan, the way that they're using, you know, the killing of the individual, the killing of yourself as their tool, but I think that that's basically I don't want to say a tool, but it's kind of like a way that people who have a true relationship with the Creator, they realize that we are a personal, you know, we have a personal relationship, but we really are just one of many people who have the same thought process, who know that there is a Creator, there is someone who's going to deliver us from what is happening right now, from this evil. So I think that at one point, it is bad to, you know, be someone who only respects people, be like a respecter of persons, thinking that someone, because of who they are, they can be good instead of what they've done. You know, we need to be looking at the fruits that certain people and their actions, exactly. But as far as things like, well, let's just say global warming, because I brought that up. Are you a believer in that? Do you think that global warming is something that's being caused by people, or do you think it's the actual, you know, corporate pollution, things that people see up in the skies every day but don't even know what they're looking at, called chemtrails and, you know, the likes of that? Where do you weigh on the fence?
Well, I'm aware of the two main dualistic views of it's man or it's corporation, which would steal man, you know. But, what if it's nothing? Because I look at it like this. Art Bell is a disinformationist. George Norrie probably is too, on Coast to Coast. I'm talking Coast to Coast here. But he is a lot more enlightened than Art Bell. Art Bell is a doom and gloom, disinformationist, period. And that's what I've learned after 2 years of listening. He is the biggest proponent of global warming. He says that man has polluted the earth and that we are in for just massive death, massive climate catastrophes. Okay, what are they doing here? They're telling us that this is going to happen. Because Coast to Coast has 15 million listeners a night. Everybody that's semi-awake, who at least has an open mind about aliens and the supernatural, are listening to this, and they're hearing this man tell him that it's coming. And if you look at HARP and what they can do with weather modification, they can be selling this on the ground front as this is going to happen because of pollution, because of man. Man has exceeded its limit here on Earth. So nature's going to strike back and kill a lot of us. And what if they're using that to guide us into the pit where HAARP sets off the blizzards and the ice ages and the hurricanes and the earthquakes and kills off more people than I'd like to think about? I mean, what if that's just their agenda? And how about this one? This is just to show you how basic I take my belief system. I think, look at the Bible, something you believe in, you've studied, and I haven't even read it, but I'm just talking here. What if it was written 100 years ago? You or I and anyone we know could not really... It is possible to be told, unless even, 500 years ago. We don't know when it was written. We only know when they told us it's written. it could have been written, like I said, 100 years ago, and if you read Revelation, you hear there's a basic format they're predictive conditioning us to, and now it's actualizing so that all the people who buy into the Bible believe it's only natural. These disasters are natural. We knew about it, so here it comes. Let's meet our Creator. And then that's the Christian front. Then the non-Christian, the atheist, or the paranormal people are getting fed into the same bin. What if they're just using it all as a distraction? And really, we should erase everything we know and just look at our surroundings. If you're in a room, stare at that room for an hour, if you can, and your life will change unbelievably.
Man, I'm so happy that you brought up that thing about the Bible, because that's actually something that, I guess, around 2004, when that big tsunami happened, and, it was like the greatest loss of life, so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people killed, like, I was just beginning to really read Revelations and the things like that, and, it says that there's going to be an increase in, earthquakes and tidal waves and things like that, but never does it say, it doesn't say it's going to be natural, it doesn't say it's going to be, God doing these things, it just says it's going to happen. So I think you're exactly right, that it could, these things are happening, but it's because there's an outside force, these people with the weather modification techniques. And you say, well, why doesn't the Bible just lay it out so, plainly and say that, people are going to be doing it? And it does, it says that many will be deceived. So people are deceived by thinking that these are just natural occurrences. This is something that there's something that has to happen because the Bible has said it, but it doesn't say that it's going to be a natural, rightful thing that's going down. And when you really look deeper into things that the Bible have written, you're right, there is no real telling of when these things could have been written, but I guess the general consensus is, because so many of these scrolls are, I don't know if you know about the Dead Sea Scrolls. There was a cave in the Dead Sea where they found some ancient scripts, and they are completely, word for word verbatim of what the King James Version says. So, people, I'm not saying...
I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, I'm not saying...
I'm a skeptic at heart. I look at everything and I go, okay, how can I disprove this? And there's simple little, what if somebody made it up?
I think we all should be a skeptic.
And believe me, the Bible is from the top down. After all the centuries and all of the reinterpretations, and then into different languages, and then into the English language, which is probably our biggest and deepest cage, we are fed this absolute, this is what it is, and it is brilliant. It's got so much. It's got the stuff for the not-so-smart and stuff for the really smart. So it is a myriad, elaborate, but it's handed from the top down, and the way you know this is because if it's in Walmart, it's from the top down. I mean, it's you don't get product in Walmart unless it's ready to be mass produced, and the Bible is mass produced. So I'm just saying, hey, be cautious. That might just be a complete, farce, but at the same time, all this information, every bit of it, has truth. And that's what glues people. It's like flypaper. You put the truth on it, and they come towards it, the smell, the aroma, and then they get hooked. But they're further conditioned to just don't look at the contradictions. Just look at the truth. And that's how people spend their whole life.
Well, that's how you pass any deception by anyone. You give them a tiny, tiny bit of truth, but you use the rest to be a lie. And, you know, for example, just taking the Bible as an example, we read the Bible and you see words like Lord and you see words like Jesus Christ, but these were never, ever words that were ever seen in any Bible until after, like you were saying, after it gets translated, after it gets in different people's hands, and the ones who translated it into these words were the Roman Catholic Church. And, you know, there's a saying that I like to use, that we are the Romans, because all you got to do is look at the back of your dollar bill, you see the stuff written in Latin, and you see the Roman numerals, and you see things like that. It's because we are the Roman Empire still going. They just put a different name on it. You put a different cover, but, you know, it's the same thing. And things that... Things,
I mean, you're
ideas.
Right. The fact that they took the name of God, what is it called?
Yahweh, the Tetragrammaton, which was in there.
Tetragrammaton, yes. They take this out of the Bible, put in Lord, which is what you call somebody higher up in the social strata of Britain. I mean, Lord, okay? And then Jesus, which you pointed out to me that J's weren't in any alphabet before, what was it, 500 AD or 1500 AD?
Yeah, about 500 years ago, exactly. And, you know, the letter J wasn't in any alphabet. So how could someone who lived 2,000 years ago have a name which a letter that is brand new? And, you know, when you look at deeper into that, when you fall down that rabbit hole, you start to see that, you know, that this political deception is a huge one, but the religious deception is a deception that's, you know, taken a lot longer time and is way more effective. People are way more brainwashed into just following blindly into any type of thing that they call faith, just as they follow blindly with their political leaders. They say, I saw this, I don't know if you had a chance to see this, but there's a guy named John Connor who, he is I absolutely love John Connor. I love the stuff that he does. Recently he got Danny Bonaducci.
I saw that.
And, you know, just to see brainwashed fools like that who say, you know, I believe in this country and I believe in this president and I believe, these are people.
Yeah, I support my government. Who are you, crazy fuck? That's basically the reply.
It is.
You know, credit to John Connor, he kept a cool face.
Yeah, I don't know how he does. I don't know how he does stay cool, because I would just want to shake these people and say, you must be kidding me. Like, you have to be joking that it is a religion. This believing in your, I believe in my country is just about saying, I believe in God. You know, you have a blind faith. You don't have any reasoning for it. You're just going to go along with it because it's what you've been told to do.
It all goes back to kindergarten and standing up in the beginning of the morning and saying, I pledge allegiance to the flag. That's where it starts.
Yeah, and, you know, so many people just go along blindly and do that, but I think that part of the reason why I've gotten to where I am is because my father was skeptical of all that. He didn't have a very, very, you know, powerful belief system, but he always told me, you know, don't pledge the flag, because what are you pledging allegiance to? You don't even know what you're doing. And, you know, I said, you know, that's a good point. I don't really know what I'm saying, and I don't really know why I'm doing this. But they tell you that you just have to do it. Just follow in line. Be a sheep. Do it because everyone else is doing it.
Submit, obey, consume, and die. Die painful and miserable and lonely and empty. But hey, celebrities! Video games! Oh, kill people! It's fun! It's great! Desensitizes you with those horror movies so that when you hear about children getting killed in Iraq, oh, big deal, you know, that happens all the time in my little celebrity world. It's disgusting how they desensitize us through these horror movies. Just, not even horror movies, the comedy. The comedy is so hateful. Everything is hateful and negative, and we're bombarded with it from all angles, and you just have empty, zombie, dead jackasses. I can't think of another word. They're just jackasses. To be a slave is a choice, and they are willful servants. You are.
They are. Hey, you're exactly right. A willful servant. And again, I always quote the Bible, because you can quote the Bible for seriously any conversation or anything in life, because it's got it in there, and it says that you can't serve two masters. So these people are either going to willfully be a slave to this belief system or that one. So, you know, and if people want to ride the fence and say that they, you know, are serving, you know, a creator, but at the same time serving the government, you can't. It doesn't go both ways. You have to pick one or the other. And right now, It's time once again for another music break. We are on the line with Mr. Josh Chambers from the band Sloppy Meat Eaters, and we're going to hear another one of their tunes right about now. Josh, you also do you have any solo stuff? Are you working on a solo project? I had heard on your MySpace page, which we should give that out, some acoustic things that you had done. They were absolutely excellent. Do you have any more of those? Are you working on something?
Yeah, that's my new batch of songs are just all acoustic at the moment, so I'm just writing. I'm in the writing process. I don't know how it'll be put together. I leave that to spontaneous intuition. If I plan it, it'll crumble and fall to its death quicker than you can imagine. So if I just let it happen naturally, usually it's strong and better that way.
Yeah, I can definitely dig that.
And songs that are about the subject matter. I mean, every single one of them is intended to be a protest song, a protest against the mental slavery that our generation is submitting to.
And that's exactly what we need right now. I said it in the beginning of this episode. I said we need another John Lennon. And we need somebody who's going to be willing to just speak up and speak out and not be afraid of the consequences. People can... I never talked to you about this, but I have a very strong feeling. It's my spirit of truth that says that John Lennon was not murdered by just some random crazy, just as John Kennedy wasn't murdered by just some random crazy. There are more to this than we will ever know. But my intuition is that, you know, the CIA was keeping tabs on him. The FBI was following him. They did want to know everything he was doing, and maybe they pushed something for that to happen.
Real quick, just to think about it, I happen to be a Beatles fan, and I would have to say that the Beatles were absolutely mass cultural conditioning. And throughout their younger years, when they were naive and just soaking it in through the ego, they didn't know what was going on. But as the years go by, and after the Beatles, and he goes into his search for truth with his soulmate, Yoko Ono, and they, you know, he's 40 years old, he knows how the system works. He knows how the mass mind control works. And after he was coming out of a retirement with a new record, Double Fantasy, which is a fantastic batch of songs, and he was going to come back, and he has power. They had given him power, and he was going to use it, I believe, and they took him out, absolutely. His son, Sean Lennon, absolutely believes that he was taken out by CIA, and I think that's a pretty good indication. And then you can Google, which is a CIA front, but do it anyway. You can Google the conspiracy behind John Lennon's death, and you'll see there's some crazy stuff. The doorman was a CIA guy. The assassin's name, I forget it, but he was just
Mark David Chapman.
Victim.
Mark David Chapman, probably a Manchurian candidate.
Oswald.
I agree. We're going to talk more about this after this song. We're going to go to a quick song. Oh, no problem. We're going to just go to a quick break here, break it up, and we will play a song. I think, I don't know, let's surprise you.
You're listening to Revere Radio Network, the worldwide home of free speech and the number one activist site on the internet, revereradio.net. Step into our world.
They get into Terror Storm alone because they're afraid of it. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. And I know you have incredible activist listeners, Jack. People over there at Revere Radio. Revere Radio.
Revere Radio. Not for fronting ass niggas.
Revere Radio is not intended for fronting ass crackers either.
If I thought that you'd ever come down, I swear I'd follow the pain.
Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network, and we're back with my guest Josh Chambers from the band Sloppy Meat Eaters. You just heard one of their songs off the album Conditioned by the Laugh Track. Absolutely great record. The song is Dallas, and where can people pick up that record? Can they pick it from you directly, or?
Well, you can get it from stores sometimes, and best way to do it is go to our record label's website, orangepill.com. orangepill.com, and you can get it from there or any other number of places, all those corporate.
Yeah, I was going to say, we would rather buy it direct from the artist. I'm going to give everybody my little personal feelings. I like to buy direct from artists or indie labels and indie distributors. When you buy a record, well, first of all, if you're listening to music that can be sold in Walmart, you know, I don't know why you're even buying that anyway. Don't buy, if you really got to listen to Justin Timberlake or whoever, download it. Those people don't need your money. But if you're going to listen to bands like Sloppy Meat Eaters, don't download independent people's stuff. That, to me, is lame.
Well, you know, I hate to... I'm going to be a devil's advocate, and I know that that is a theory, but I happen to say download. If you can download our stuff, do it. I download other people's stuff, so I'd be a damn hypocrite if I didn't just come right out and say, I think it's the next thing, you know? It's technology. Use it for your good, you know? And if you really like it, which you hopefully will, then you'll want to buy it.
That's true. I mean, I don't want to be a hypocrite.
Don't worry about it.
No, because I do also, you know, download stuff. But I feel like when it is someone like you, for example, someone who I would love to support, someone who, you know, is worthy of my support, worthy of my money, worthy of all that, I say go ahead, because to me, I feel like it is a tithe, because the Bible says that you got to give something back, because you've been blessed with a lot, so you give something back. And if that's monetarily...
God said that, and the Beatles said it, so it has to be true.
There you go. There you go. And the Beatles were bigger than Jesus, so, you know...
They absolutely were. And John Lennon, and he actually thought he was Jesus at one point during the White Album. That's why he had that whole Jesus look going. He actually held a Beatles meeting and told them that he was the Son of God, he's returned, and that he's got to go public. But everyone kind of just looked at him in shock, and then it never came up again. I thought that was pretty funny.
All right, now we're going to get into some heavy-duty Beatles conspiracy stuff, because here's my theory.
This is what really matters, people. Forget the New World Order. Forget the depopulation. Beatles.
I think that the Beatles... Well, I think that, I mean... This kind of ties into the whole, you know, New World Order conspiracy, because if you listen to your TV or if you turn on the radio lately, you're going to hear so many Beatles songs right now advertising every store, everything to consume. Why? Because like you said, it is a brainwashing. People get brainwashed when they hear these Beatles songs. It sends you, I mean, when I hear the Beatles, I'm sure anybody else, when you hear a Beatles song, it puts you somewhere. It does something to your brain the way it is.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
magical.
It seriously puts you in a mood, and
too.
Yeah, and it's used for evil, because it's used to make people consume. You get in that mode, yeah. And then you say, oh, I guess I'll go to Target now because their commercial has this Beatles song, and that's how they get you. And I think that the reason why the Beatles were so incredible and so great, and the real reason why John Lennon had that beard and they all were, you know, growing their facial hair, is because Paul had to. Or the person who they call Paul. And why did Paul have to? Because he was getting these surgeries and they had to cover up things. Now, that goes into a whole other conspiracy that I know not a lot of people buy into, but the more I read into it, the more I see, you know,
the handwriting, the forensic evidence, the way that he was the same size as that woman that he was dating in 1966, then all of a sudden, a year later, he's like a foot taller than her. Now, people don't have growth spurts like that when they're at that, you know, 22, 23 years old. You don't have a growth spurt like a foot, and it just seems like a lot. And the stuff that the way that John Lennon wrote afterwards, you know, how do you sleep at night? People were right when they said you were dead. I don't think he's just being creative and an artist. I think he's really setting it straight. How does he sleep at night knowing that he's not really Paul McCartney? How does he sleep?
You know, I have to disagree completely, which we've had this conversation before, but we'll throw it out here on the air. You know, those are all wonderful points, and, you know, I will say right here that it is possible. But at the moment, actually, I've been unhelpfully obsessed with the Beatles for the last 13 months or so. I mean, ridiculous. So I kind of learned the whole spiel. And the Paul McCartney that sang Yesterday is absolutely the same Paul McCartney that did Say, Say, Say with Michael Jackson. I mean, it just is. You can tell musically his songwriting, his ability, how he progressed. Because basically, if he was an impersonator, he's number one, he's more talented than the old Paul. And number two, all the other Beatles who'd been there from the beginning were taking orders from him at the end because he was a cokehead and he was a control freak. So he was, you know, very aggressive in the recording studio and he kind of had his way. I doubt that that would happen if it was some new guy. And it just seems impossible. And,
I think they were feeding the ideas through him.
Because Paul McCartney was, this was who Paul McCartney was. All right, we gotta sell a million units. We gotta market to this people. We gotta outsell this person. He was a corporate, self-serving egomaniac for those last years of the Beatles. And John was going the opposite direction. He hated that. And when he said those people were right, when they said you're dead, he meant Paul's soul, because he had turned into the greed monger. And I don't believe that Paul is dead at all.
Well, I'm going to send you some.
If I'm wrong, then I will.
Well, there are some great videos, for example, like I Am the Walrus and things, you know, the videos that were shot right after they mysteriously, at around the same time, decided to stop touring. And, you know, they put out the Sgt. Pepper thing, and, you know, there's all the hints in that. But, you know, those could just be very good artistic, you know, whatever it may be. But when you look, I mean, actually look at the guy's face and you compare it, and, you know, there's just so much things that I see with my own eyes, things that, you know, my eyes are not lying to me.
Well, you know what could cause that, perhaps? Just the same thing with the moon landing. They had the fake pictures from the fake landing, and it got mixed in, and then probably on purpose to discredit conspiracy theories down the line, because Sgt. Pepper, if that's when the new guy steps in, Sgt. Pepper was mainly written by Paul McCartney. That was all his songs. It was his concept, his idea. So I can't for a second believe that some new guy would come in and write 75% of the songs off Sgt. Pepper while the other guys were not really doing much.
See, so, but that just goes again, you know, with what I'm saying.
They put some real... Here's what I think. I think Paul McCartney started that rumor because he was an egomaniac, and just to draw, it's kind of like when a celebrity on purpose, you know, does something stupid to get in the tabloids. It was just a Paul McCartney way to get this cultural urban legend going, just to perpetuate his myth.
All right, well, think about it. This is what I think, because I know for a fact that without the Beatles, then the part of the explosion of the 60s about the mysticism, about the sun worship, the things that were lost and not in America, because America was, you know, just a good Christian nation, you know, things like drugs and mysticism did not happen until that Sgt. Pepper's album. Before that, the Beatles were the biggest thing in the world, but they were the teeny bopper, pop, whatever, you know.
On purpose.
Now.
On purpose.
On purpose.
They were
exactly.
Home, and then they were stoners, and then they were psychedelic LSD freaks, and each little cycle, they made the whole youth culture follow them, and it's called predictive conditioning. I absolutely agree, that's the conspiracy. Tavistock Institute used them to demoralize the youth culture and get them doing LSD, which in fact is actually not good for spiritual enlightenment. It actually scrambles your brain, and that's what happened with the 60s when it fizzled out, because people like Tim Leary and John Lennon and the Grateful Dead were put up there like little pop stars and telling everybody to do this stuff because probably they believed it was something, or, you know, but that they definitely and not by accident caused that unfortunate.
Well, Timothy Leary was Tim Leary is without question undoubtedly CIA. This is documented fact. He is CIA. But think about what you said, how, you know, Paul wrote the Sergeant Pepper. Now, my theory is Paul wasn't writing any of that. This is just New World Order introducing these things. Let's just go to the songs, for example. One example that I always love to bring up is Look for the Girl with the Sun in Her Eyes, okay? Now, who is this girl with the sun in her eyes? Well, it's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Now, let's break down what that really means. What's in the sky with diamonds? Well, that would be in the sky with diamonds. What are diamonds? That could be stars. Now, what are in the sky with the stars?
It's total Luciferian occultism.
Exactly. Lucy is short for Lucifer. It's Lucifer in the sky with diamonds. The sun is in the sky. That's who they're talking about. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes. It's the sun. They're talking about, this is all sun worship. And if you look at all the songs on that album, if you look at the hidden, the true meaning, what's behind it, they are not only telling you straight up, you know, you have the first song where they're giving you this introduction, you know, because they're introducing you to a band that you already knew. Every person in the world knew who that band was. Why would they need an introduction? Because,
well, because
it's someone new.
Identity.
The identity is because there isn't really
scam. It was a Paul idea too. I doubt you would have to suggest that there were other people writing the songs, and I don't think so. I think they definitely wrote their own songs and experienced what they were. If they were dabbling in occultism or LSD and all that stuff, they were. They were probably had people sent to them at the top, you know, God, this is where it's at. And they did have people like that around them. So you're right. John Lennon, imagine, is the New World Order plan to a T. Imagine no countries, no heaven. It's a brotherhood of one man. And you're right.
Yeah, that's what leads me in to think that they were used. They were pawns.
John Lennon probably woke up from that, and that's why they killed him.
I believe that that has to be, you know, if you just look into it and don't take things at face value and really think about it and really just read the lyrics and just look deeply into everything, I think
know
that.
All the lyrics.
Yeah, I mean, when I start thinking
had more
about
gibberish than anything, and then
sometimes, but that also could be, you know. Are they doing gibberish in order to confuse you and throw you off and make you think that the song before it, too, didn't have any meaning when really they're just talking about worshiping Lucifer? So it's, you know, you got to take it all together and then see the people that they were, you know, people like Tim Leary, who's obviously CIA, and the other people who that they were, they were obviously around and, you know, being friends with. And, you know, I am going to, do you think? No, I think we're doing good on time for right now. I just want to make sure that we don't run over, because I know that we could easily run over just talking about stuff. And I want to be fair to everyone else out there, because it is only a two-hour show, but we could talk for about 30 hours, especially stuff about the Beatles and this.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think that that's one of
There's
the conspiracies.
There's definitely a magical occultist element within the Beatles that hypnotizes you. I
From
it. A lot of people I know.
Well, there's no reason to explain why they would.
And they definitely tapped something otherworldly. And that's why they were the biggest band in the world. They weren't the biggest band in the world because they wrote the best songs. That didn't come till later. They were the biggest band in the world because they were hand-picked, hand-groomed, hand-manufactured, and placed on top for a particular reason. And that's to implement the drug culture. And then the Luciferian concept of love, and we are one. That's all the Beatles say throughout their whole career. Love, we are one. So, yeah, they were used. No doubt about it. But they're a great band, nonetheless. And occult Luciferian, whatever they were good. I love it. I love it. Can't help it.
Hey, I feel the same way with a lot of the stuff, and I feel that a lot of the people are just victims of circumstance. They don't realize what they're really doing, you know, kind of like what the Messiah said, forgive them because they don't know what they do, and these people, they're only tools.
On the record, Tom Petty is an angel of God. Make no mistake about it.
Tom
angel
Petty.
Angel of God. He's one of the light workers, no doubt.
Really, Tom Petty, his music, I could never, never enjoy, ever.
Wow.
For some reason, I just...
I can't understand that.
I can't listen to Tom Petty.
Do you like hardcore? Do you like the hip-hop? I don't really think that stuff either, so...
No.
Like apples and...
I love the classics. I mean, you give me some Neil Young, and I'll be very, very happy. Or you give me some Bob Dylan, but Tom Petty... Yeah. Tom Petty, just him specifically, is kind of like... I don't know, James Taylor to me. I don't know, someone that I can't dig on.
You must have had a traumatizing experience with Tom Petty playing in the background, because that's the only way you could downsize.
You know, it's probably the traumatizing experience of everyone on this network and every other network playing, you know, like they only heard I Will Not Back Down, like that song's the only song that I guess fits in this. There isn't a plethora of other songs of people writing stuff similar, you know, but that's what I choose to, you know, some people dig that, some people don't. I dig on things, you know, like Sloppy Meat Eaters and other independent, you know, hard-working bands that are saying the same stuff, but saying it actually more in a way that I think relates to my life and to people in this generation, you know. Save Your Generation is for the young, you know, 18 to 35 people who, you know, are too busy going out to the club to really be informed. So let's try to get them out of the club.
What a way to spend your night singing other people's songs.
Seriously, singing other people's bad songs. Yeah, seriously. All right, now we are running a little late on time, so I think we're going to head to another break and play another song. Let's, since we were just talking about the Beatles, why don't we play definitely a Beatles song now to just change it up? What do you think? Maybe something Luciferian, or...
I think something Luciferian. I think that'd be quite perfect. Lucy in the Sky.
Alright. Yeah, we will play that, and when you guys listen to the lyrics of this song, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, think about who they're really talking about. We know that they worship the sun. We know that that's what's going on. So just put it all together and you'll start seeing it. And I think, you know, even more so than just the sun worship, it is talking about drugs, I think. You know, everything's talking about drugs. Everything talks about it. All right, so let's play that song.
It's a great, beautiful song.
It is, and it's well written, which makes me think, you know, were these people intelligent enough to compose this music themselves, or did they have a team of people composing it for them and saying, you're going to do this because you're going to be our tool?
Anything's possible, and anything coming from the top down culturally, I suspect, you know, of wrongdoing, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, we should just be suspicious of all these people, and, you know, because even to this day, we know that the people we hear on the radio and the people we see on TV, they're not writing those songs. They don't write their stuff. They have a whole team of writers, and they don't even get what they're saying. They don't even understand that they're just being used as a tool in order to, I guess,
vanity and control culture.
And sexify, like, little children, and to, you know, really distort their mentality and the way that they think, and think that, you know, they need to be dressing and acting sexy at the age of 5, you know, it's disgusting to me, and that's who this music is, you know, sent towards. And, you know, rock and roll, it started as, you know, a very, kind of like the way we see things now, that it was just something to be sexual, or whatever it may be, but, you know, it doesn't have to be that way for all types of music. We can use it as this weapon. So let's listen to this song, and you guys enjoy it. We're talking to Josh Chambers from Sloppy Meat Eaters on Save Your Generation on the Revere Radio Network. MySpace.com/Sloppy Meat Eaters.
Do you reject Satan and all his evils?
Sure.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer.
answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green, towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes, and she's people eat marshmallow pies. Everyone smiles as you drift past the flowers that grow so incredibly high. Newspaper taxis appear on the shore, waiting to take you. With plasticine pauses, with looking glass ties. Suddenly someone is there at the turnstile. The girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Thanks for tuning in to Save Your Generation tonight, Friday, December 15th. Is it the 15th? I think so. And we are on the air, on the line with Joshua Chambers from the band Sloppy Meat Eaters. And I am now noticing that we have completely run over our time for tonight. So hopefully whoever's next, they're not too angry. But, you know, if we do happen to get cut off right now, people, go to the archives. You can check the archives at tiredofbeingalive.com. You can also check the archives at revereradio.net, iPodNetworks.com. Also, a new one we have now. It's SYG. That's Save Your Generation, SYG.podomatic.com. Mr. Chambers, I just want to thank you so much for giving us your time, and hopefully you'll be back on very soon, maybe next week, maybe the week after. What do you think?
It'll be absolutely a pleasure.
I'm so happy we got to share these things. Oh, people, if you don't already know, the song you just heard were the Beatles with Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. I hope you're paying close attention to those lyrics. All the lyrics for the songs that you heard tonight can be viewed over at revereradio.net. Scroll down to the blog section, look for the Save Your Generation blog, and read along with all the stuff you heard. And again, we are dead out of time, but I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on, and, you know, really, we're going to do it again.
One last food for thought. Number one enemy is corporate entertainment. It is your most vile and vicious enemy. Find out why. Eradicate it from your life. Breathe. We are free.
No, they won't be.
That's exactly right. And you're free on Save Your Generation. Free thought, free speech. And this is Revere Radio, the worldwide home of free speech. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Tune in every Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Save Your Generation. Everybody, have a good one.